Welcome to Illuminated Lamb, where we discuss the themes of Christ and light as found in the scriptures. If you're following us on YouTube, please comment, share, like, and subscribe. Really helps our placement in the YouTube algorithm. Several years ago, I came across a story about a golfer from the late 20th century named Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus is probably one of the top, if not perhaps the top golfer of that era. And it's an interesting anecdote that I had heard, true story, is that when Jack Nicklaus was growing up, he had, as I believe his first instructor, a man named Jack Grout. What Nicklaus would do, even at the height of his professional career, is at the start of every golf season, he would go back to visit Jack Grout. And he would come club in hand and say what he would say every year, "Mr. Grout, please teach me how to golf." I thought that was a rather interesting way of someone who was, again, at the height of his career, not resting on his laurels, not saying, "Hey, I'm the best, everyone has to now follow me." Jack Nicklaus knew he had to go back to basics when it came to his golf career. And I think the same holds true for us as Christians, that there are times we need to go back to basics in our walk with the Lord. A passage of this that for me really hits home is Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. This is the letter which the Lord Jesus dictates to John in the book of Revelation. It's one of seven letters which the Lord Jesus sends to seven different churches in Asia Minor, which is today modern day Turkey. In this letter to the Ephesians, the Lord Jesus has some interesting things to tell them. It reads, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles, and are not, and have found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first deeds. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." This letter is a reminder to me that with the background I have been able to have in my walk with the Lord, I have been privileged to be able to study theology on a graduate level. I do have a master's degree in theology, which I earned 25 plus years ago. One of the temptations for someone in my position, or someone who, let's say, is a Christian scholar or perhaps a professional Christian, so to speak, like a pastor or a teacher, is that you might mistake the learning you've brought in, the cognitive knowledge you've brought in, and think that that perhaps is a replacement for a heart devotion to the Lord or an attitude of love. And this is something that the Lord Jesus brings up to the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation. Do keep in mind, he is not saying, okay, kind of pull back on the doctrinal correctness that you've applied. The Lord Jesus commends them for their application of their doctrinal correctness. He does also note, to their shame, that what they have done is to abandon their first love. And the way that the Lord Jesus frames it, I think, is an interesting point. The way that the New American Standard, which I read from, points us out is that he's calling the church in Ephesus to do the first deeds, or else he would remove their lampstand, remove them from being a church. So for all their doctrinal correctness, the fact that they were lacking love, that they've abandoned their first love, isn't just a matter of like, oh, well, good, you'll be a truthful church, but you'll be an unloving one. It's like, no, if they're an unloving church, they're not going to stand as a church. They won't continue to exist. So when the Lord Jesus is saying you need to go back and do the first deeds, I believe that there's two ways of understanding that. The first is that it could be first deeds in terms of sequence, the things that you did first, then the thing second, then the things third. The other way of understanding that is first in terms of priority or primacy, that you're doing the really important things first. One of the things you may find with some areas of biblical interpretation is that it's not a matter of an A or a B interpretation. A and B can work in harmony and both be true at the same time. I believe that's one of those cases here. It's rather ironic that we have communications from not only the Lord Jesus to the Church of Ephesus, we also have Paul's letter to the Ephesians written several decades before this. And interestingly enough, the same topics come up. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, which reads, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." So the pairing of truth and love are not strangers to each other, especially when it comes to the way that God has inspired His communication with the church in Ephesus, first with Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and then several decades later, the Lord Jesus Himself dictating a letter through John. So when it comes to do the first deeds, I have to ask myself, what are the things that I should be doing in terms of doing the first deeds? I try to remember the things that are priority, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to keep expanding my definition in my head and in my heart of who is my neighbor. In terms of going back to the first things, in terms of first in sequence, I think that going back to the basics, going back to the beginning, kind of like Jack Nicklaus did with Mr. Grout in terms of teaching him how to play golf, that we can, if possible, go back to some of the beginnings of our walk in the faith. There are two things I'd like to point out which I think have been really helpful for me over the years. These two steps have been helpful for me, and again, your situation is going to be unique to you. So hopefully this could give you some ideas for some ways that you may be able to, in a sense, go back to the first deeds for yourself as a believer. In my case, the first thing I do is to, once a year, go back to the place where I believe that I really developed my beginnings of relationship for the Lord back in 1984 when I was first coming to the faith. There is a park that is about a mile north of where I used to work at the time. And what I would do at lunch hour is grab the small pocket paper Bible I had and go out and do scripture reading. I would pray, I'd reflect on what the Lord was beginning to do in my life. And what I do every year is to go back to that park. It's now a 45-minute distance. I've moved a few times since. However, it's still worth the time to be able to go out there and have, let's say, an hour and a half or a two-hour retreat just by myself and remember what the Lord did for me back in 1984, the simplicity of the beginnings of that faith and the sense of just how much He loved me and still loves me. And also a way of then planning to go ahead. It's like, okay, I'm not just trying to be nostalgic. I'm saying, what do I do now that I am 40 years plus into the faith? How do I take those things and now move forward and even grow even further? The second thing I do is to look at the passage that I believe the Lord Jesus used to actually bring me to the faith. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I'm not going to read the entire passage for you. What I am going to do is read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which I believe was actually the critical text that the Lord used to convert me that day from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. The text reads, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." When I read that passage back in 1984, it was the first time in my life that I actually believed that the Lord Jesus was going to do exactly what He promised in this text. That if I were to seek His kingdom, make it my priority, that all of these other things I needed, all these other material things that I needed that are mentioned in the passage right before this, that He was going to honor that promise and meet my needs. And I can tell you, after 40 plus years, He has been good and faithful to his promise. One of the things I try to stress within these podcast episodes is being creative in the way that you work out the things of your Christian faith. And granted, for probably the vast majority of you who are watching, maybe your first experiences of the Lord weren't in a park. It could have been any other number of people, situations. I suggest that you put together your own ways of looking at how you can do the first deeds or replay them. Go back in your mind. Maybe it is a scripture passage. Maybe it's taking the time to remember someone who led you to the faith. Again, be creative. I think it's really worth it to know that when we grow in the faith, there are times in which we do need to go back to basics. Just because we have been with the Lord for so many years doesn't mean that we know it all and that we have had every experience we can in Christ. We're still growing, and we're going to grow until the day the Lord calls us home. So all of that to say, with my fellow believers, find your own way of doing the first deeds. Recognize you need to go back to basics. In a way, it's saying to the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, teach me how to be a believer again. I will see you on the next podcast.